Hello everybody and welcome to October's PBIC Gold Teleclass. I'm your host Dom Hodgson, the Pet Biz Whiz, and I'd like to first of all welcome aboard all of the new members who signed up as a result of taking part in the 7-day Dog Walkers Business Building Workshop or via the Walk Yourself Wealthy Dog Walkers Business in a Box, or any other way that you joined the PBIC as well, because we have people who come from all over the place to where they eventually find Dom, and the smart ones come in and they stay for a very long time and they create amazing businesses. Just a little bit of a learning point, really, again, from the last workshop that I ran. So I always ask the question at the start of the process about how people found me. And it really is incredible how people find Dom and then gradually come into my world. And, you know, like I said, the smart ones join the PBIC. They stay for a very long time, build a business, join Diamond, etc., etc. Come to events. And then we go on this kind of journey together, really, you know. And but the interesting thing is the joining point. What is the point at which people go from being not aware of Dom to being aware of Dom? And it happens all over. People check out podcast interviews, check out my podcast. They find me via podcast interviews that I've done with other people. A lot of people come via books, audio books as well. A lot of people find me through obviously advertising that I do as well, you know. So if I pay for advertising, it has to be said, we'll be touching upon this in today's teleclass, but advertising is once you know what your message is and what you want the outcome of your advertisement to be, and your targeting is pretty good as well, then advertising is the fastest way to bring people into your world. So people come to my world, I said, but lots of different ways. Books. Somebody came into my world for the summer boot camp that I ran who found my book in a charity shop. Okay, we've had people who, again, have heard me on podcasts, heard adverts on other podcasts. Some people come in via the courses that I have on Udemy, you know, so they don't consistently bring in any sort of real amount of money. Occasionally they do. Occasionally we have a really good month on Udemy, but it's very much out of my hands because it's their platform. But people do come into my world that way, you know. So they'll discover Dom, they'll download a course, and then they're in. You know, they're in Dom's world, and yeah. So at every point on the journey, there's usually an opportunity for me to get people onto my email list, and we'll be talking about that later on today as well. So yeah, welcome aboard, however you came in, welcome aboard, and well done for stepping up and investing in your marketing. The best way to make as much progress as you can in this amazing community is to take part as much as you can. Read everything that I send you. Make time every month to read the ledger. Sit down with a highlighter pen and a pack of post-it notes. Make notes on it. Add post-it notes, yeah? Make sure there are at least 3 or 4 or 5 things that you take away from that ledger that you are going to implement that month. And then make sure you implement it, you know? Go back and look over the different lessons as well, your highlighted parts. And this is exactly what I do, guys, you know? I have trainings and mastermind notes that I've made when I've attended masterminds and coaching programs that I still go back to now. I still go back to them, and because if it was a good idea then usually it's a good idea now, and usually it's a better idea than the bright shiny object that might be vying for my attention now. So you know, please go back to this stuff. Same with the CDs, you know, make notes in your phone when you're listening, when you're on the teleclasses, when we're on the teleclasses and the PBIC goal calls. Somebody says something, you know, make a note of it and go rush off and action it, yeah? And that is the way to move forward faster, really. If you want more help and advice and accountability from me, if you have a slightly bigger business, then it would be a great idea for you to consider applying to join either my Diamond or my Platinum private coaching groups. Because in those groups, you get more help and advice, you get more accountability. It takes things to a whole nother level, really. And you will usually find that you will make much faster progress in that kind of group too. Usually, if you have a business of any kind of size at all, you know, so if you've gone from zero to being three quarters full or full, or if you fall and you're adding other services and staff and all that kind of thing, if you're at a stage like that of your business and you've got a decent-ish wage coming in, usually to move your business to the next level does not require more information. It requires more doing. So if you're still at the stage where you want more information, if you want to be, doing a separation anxiety conference one weekend, and then you want to be learning about Instagram and blogs the next weekend, and then the week after that you want to be doing an online dog prevention thing, and then the week after that you want to be doing like some other Instagram workshop or something as well, or you want to spend your Wednesday evenings taking part in Twitter chats and stuff, then like you can crack on, okay? But just understand that whilst you're doing all of that, you aren't growing your business, okay? If you want more help growing your business, make more money, that's what these more advanced coaching groups are for. So you can apply. The next intake is in December. You can email Beth for an application. You do have to apply. There's no guarantee you'll get in. But if you fit the criteria and you're prepared to push yourself out your comfort zone, then yeah, you have a pretty good chance. Right, that's that then. That's the welcome done. That's the housekeeping done as well. You will see from in the updates this month that, final a bit of housekeeping, that I am doing a special promotion for my new rescue book, Rescue Dog Rehoming Remedies. Was out last week. Well, it's out now. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a special limited edition print run from Bill, my publisher. And I'm going to get a bulk number of books, Rescue Dog Rehoming Remedy books, printed. And you will be able to buy them at a discounted rate. You'll be able to buy them for £4 each instead of, well, the cheapest on Amazon you can get is £8.99. So you can buy them for £4 each. You need to get a minimum of 10. There is a £5 delivery charge as well. And then you can use these books as Christmas gifts for clients, for onboarding gifts for your new dog walking, grooming, training clients. A great thing to give people if they are a dog training client of yours, with a rescue dog for sure. Absolute no-brainer. Or you know, just to use as giveaways. You could get some, you could give some to clients, you could use them as for prizes in a giveaway, for like a Christmas giveaway to raise money for rescues in your area. You know, loads of different things you can do with them. And you know, apart from obviously read a one and leave a nice review on Amazon for me as well. But you will need to get your order into Beth this month, because I want this sorted in the next 10 days, done, printed, posted out, so that everybody's got them for the beginning of November. So if you want in on that, then email Beth on beth@packleaderdogadventures.co.uk. And now starts the teaching part of the teleclass. So today we're talking about websites, landing pages, the difference between the two, and we're also going to really go into much more detail about exactly what your website is for and why a landing page is different from everything else that you'll be doing online, and why it's so important, really. Because obviously a landing page, if you're doing a landing page, then you're going to be asking people for their email address, which means that you're going to be emailing them. And if you want their email address off them, then you need to provide some kind of information tip sheet or ebook or something like that, that is going to tempt them into exchanging their email address for the freebie. And which makes it kind of a convoluted process, really. There's a lot to setting up a landing page with emails, with a download, getting it embedded into your website and everything like that. And you really want to get it right, you know, because cocking up the landing page, especially if you're spending money sending people there via adverts to sign up for this thing, you really want it to be as right as you can. And this is like the sort of convoluted process behind setting up emails. And this is me not disparaging emails in any way, because, as you know, my email marketing is my main kind of marketing that I do. It's where I sell most of my stuff. It's where I make most of my money, you know, is through email marketing. And it's still the ultimate online experience, selling experience, really. The ultimate online selling method, you know. Anything online, be it website, social media, whatever, all that stuff is just a sideshow compared to email, you know. If you're doing anything online, you really need to be doing email. So yeah, I'm a big fan of email, but I generally recommend that people, before they get into the whole email marketing malarkey, they first do some direct mail. And the reasons for that are as follows. Basically, it's much easier, well, it's a lot easier to get to create the content for a newsletter, put it into Canva, get it printed and delivered, and then start handing it out to your clients and get it and prospects and get it upselling your existing clients, locking them in, making them feel good, forewarning them for a price increase or for a new change of services that you have to come, encourage them to refer, all these kind of things. It's much easier to do that with a postcard or with a newsletter than it is to go through the whole process of creating a lead magnet, sorting out an email sequence, etc., etc., etc. Usually it's easier to do the newsletter. Even if you're incredibly technically competent, it's much easier to do the newsletter. And you'll get faster results from the newsletter, see? Because the newsletter, you can put in front of people's faces straight away. So like a postcard, let's take it back a little bit further, okay? When we want to grow our business, the easiest people to sell to are our existing clients. So any offer that we come up with, any promotion that we come up with, should first of all be geared towards our existing clients. Well, if you have, you know, if you do dog adventures and you're going to do a super duper adventure that's going to be twice the price and they're going to do three times as much and they're going to have a fantastic experience, it's far easier for you to just produce a postcard that has a time limited offer on it and then give it to your clients than it is for you to create an email list. And, you know, so like in speed terms, much easier, faster to get, and more impactful as well, to get some direct mail done, be it a postcard or a newsletter or something, than it is to go through the whole email rigmarole. That said, once your business is up and running, and you know, you're rocking and rolling a bit with your direct mail, and you are ready to grow, well then it makes much more sense to leverage the power of email. Because then you can set up an email sequence, you can get people signed up with some kind of tip sheet and get them, you know, dropping in. You can get them basically dropping in to your, dropping into your sequence on autopilot, you know. And it's a fantastic way to grow your list, you know, and this is exactly the same for me. So I have these 33 ideas, which I may in the new year actually update. I might update my lead magnet and change it to something else, or I might change to something else on the very front end anyway. Just to kind of mix it up a bit now. It's been like 3 years, but that kind of highlights the power of when you create something that has longevity. You know, so as an example, if you think about the process that is required, the amount of hours that are required for you to create a lead magnet, sort out a sales page, and then sort out a 10-email autoresponder sequence. Well, that, you know, that's going to take you at least best part of a month, you know, 2 or 3 weeks to a month, I would say. You know, really going hard at it. That's what she said. But that's then sitting there. That's then sitting there, and it means every time somebody contacts you, every time somebody inquires about your services, every time you put an advert out or you do anything else, you can point people towards your lead magnet to turn them from being just somebody who's floating around on the fringes to being opted in to your list, where you can then have a proper conversation with them. So obviously that's incredibly worthwhile doing, isn't it? Compare that to all of the time you spend in the hours that you're spending on Facebook. I was reading something the other day about the average person spends something like 3 hours a day on looking at their phones, you know. And I'm guilty of this from time to time as well, mainly when I'm doing work. But hey, who am I kidding? I still waste some time on there too. Compare those 3 hours a day that you're spending staring at your phone, posting mindless shit on Facebook, or following other people's mindless shit on Facebook. Well, then you can see how you can leverage that time much better by creating something meaningful, impactful, it's going to last for an incredibly long time. So let us talk about the difference between the website and the landing page. But before we do that, let's talk about why the website is important. And I do think a website is important. I do think that a website is necessary. You know, there are, can you grow a business without a website? Well, yeah, you can actually. But, you know, the website, it's kind of the portal into your world, the online portal into your world. And a lot of people will want to check you out online. A lot of people check me out online, yeah? They stalk Dom online. They see what I'm about. They see if what they're reading about me is all true. And then they're really disappointed when they find out that it is true. So your website is like your online portal to the world. But your website should fulfill some very specific objectives, really. Because ultimately, your website, like all advertising tools that you have, should be there to do one thing. Well, one of two things. Should be there to turn people who are looking into prospects, which is where the lead magnet comes in. We'll talk about that in a moment. And it's there to generate sales as well. Yeah. So how do we generate sales from a website? Well, we first of all, we get people's attention. You know, we try and stand out from the crowd. Always with our marketing, we should be trying to stand out from the crowd. So the first thing you should be doing when you're thinking about putting a website together, or when you're thinking about changing your website, is to look at all of your competitors in your town. Write down all of the things that they do with their websites that look boring, crap, predictable, and make sure that you do not do it with your website. And then you need to be, if you've got somebody doing this for you, if you've got someone putting this together for you on a, a website pro, like, don't assume for one second that they're going to know anything about websites either, really. Most website designers are graphic designers. They've never heard of Dan Kennedy. They've never heard of pain, agitate, solution. They've never heard of attention, interest, desire, action. They'll have never read anything like Confessions of an Advertising Man by David Ogilvy or The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy. They genuinely won't know any of the stuff that we're talking about in the PBIC. Now, that is not true for all of them, but for 99.999% of them, it will be true. So if you have somebody putting together a website for you, you need to be really clear about what it is that you want them to do. Otherwise, they will just churn out a very pretty looking but ineffective website. And that's not what we're after, right? So imagine your website like a building for a moment. Imagine it was like a shop, you know? So imagine it was like an exclusive shop, yeah? So what would you have in this shop to tempt people in? Well, you wouldn't, if it was an exclusive shop and you were selling an exclusive product, then you might tempt them in to your foyer, to your waiting area, with some kind of teaser of what was inside, you know? You might have some kind of teaser in the window that would show them how your product was going to, or your service was going to benefit their lives. And then you would bring them in, wouldn't you? You would bring them into the shop, and you might make them wait for a little bit. You might say you wait there. If you were going to position your business very well, you would do that. And then you might ask some questions of them. You might get some more information. And then if you thought they were a good fit for you, well, then you might take them to the another room where you would give them a more in-depth presentation about what it is that you were talking about. And your website should work a similar way. So your website should immediately get people's attention and dangle something in front of them that they want, that they desire, that is useful to them. And why do people buy things? Remember, people buy things to solve problems. Okay, this is where pain agitate solution comes in for all of the marketing material that you produce, including your online stuff as well. So this is why if you're a dog walker, you are far better having a headline that says, "Is your dog bored alone whilst you are at work?" than it is to have Coventry's number one dog walking service or Sunderland dog lovers dog walking service, something like that. Yeah, because we want people's attention. And we get people's attention with the headlines. We'll go into more detail about the structure of the landing page in a minute. But if you think about most people's websites, they aren't set up like this at all. The website is set up to not really do anything. You know, it doesn't compel anybody to do anything. So what does your website compel people to do, land on your page? Does it tell them where to go to find out more information? Does it address any kind of problems that they might have? These are key questions that you need to be asking. You know, do yourself a favor. Go and do a little website audit and look through your own website and ask yourself, if I was a dog owner who stumbled across this page via Google or via a recommendation or something, what is here to compel them to do something, to take action, right? And that is ultimately what we want. We want people to take action when they land on our websites. Well, some kind of action. Obviously we do, yeah? We ultimately want them to buy or call us up or fill in an application form or something like that. We want them to do that though. But people, most people are like really lazy. They're really lazy and they're really busy and they're really easily distracted, which means that for you to get them from being just a cursory website visitor to being someone who is really interested in your service and they want to know more and they're prepared to leave your contact details with you so that you can contact them and follow up with them, well, then we need to do more than just what the average website does, you know? Let's go into talking about landing pages now and the difference between the difference between landing pages and your website. So the most people's websites exist most people's websites exist to just share general information about their business. They don't really compel people to do anything at all, right? A landing page or a sales page or a splash page, what I'm just going to call that a landing page from now on, a landing page is designed to do a specific thing. It is designed to get people signed up to your email list. It's designed to get people's email addresses. All right? So whereas the website might have a home page, and it might have an about page, and it might have a services page, and it might have a gallery, and it might have a blog, it might have all of these different things, the landing page has one purpose, and that is to get people to go from the top of the page, where there will be a problem communicated, get them to go quickly to the bottom of the page, where there will be a sign-up box for them to get more information about the problem that they are suffering from. Okay? And kind of the first point to mention about the landing pages is And this is a mistake that I've picked up on quite a bit in the inner circle groups lately, is you really need to sort of hammer home what that pain point is that that person is suffering from. Okay, so you want to be basically hitting them between the eyes with the main problem that they are suffering from when it comes to their dog. Their main worry, their main fear, their main frustration, their main thing, whatever that thing is, that is a problem for them. Now, to take this back a step further, you won't know what that thing is unless you ask them. All right, we've had numerous examples lately of PBIC members who have created a landing page. Yeah, most people's landing pages, they don't lead with the problem. All right, even when I tell people to, do the whole PAS thing, they end up having like their logo at the top, a little bit about their business at the top, and people aren't interested in that, you know. And we've had numerous examples of people, yeah, that's what I was going to say about that, with their landing pages, where they put a landing page together, and then I've looked at it for critique, and I've pulled out two or three things that they've changed, and like immediately, the sign-ups go up, you know. And that's because everybody does this, all marketers do this, we really kind of overestimate how interested in our stuff people are. And people aren't interested in your stuff, for the most part, at all, you know. They're interested in their stuff, their lives, their problems, okay. Now, David Ogilvie says, in his chapter in his book about how to write potent copy, he says, the headline is the most important element in most advertisements. It is the telegram which decides the reader whether to read the copy. On average, 5 times as many people read the headline as read the body copy. When you have written your headline, you have spent 80 cents out of your dollar. If you haven't done some selling in your headline, you have wasted 80% of your client's money. He's talking about clients here, yeah? The wickedest sin of all is to run an advertisement without a headline. Such headless wonders are still to be found. I don't envy the copywriter who submits one to me. Yeah, the headline is the ticket on the meat. Use it to flag to the readers who are prospects for the kind of product you are advertising. If you are selling a remedy for bladder weakness, display the words bladder weakness in your headline. They catch the eye of everyone who suffers from this inconvenience. If you want mothers to read your advertisement, display mothers in your headline, and so on. Conversely, do not say anything in your headline which is likely to exclude any readers who might be prospects for your product. Thus, if you are using a product which can be used equally well by men and women, don't slant your headline as women alone. It would frighten men away. Right, so important there, yeah? You've spent 80% of your money with the headline. Now, if you choose not to lead with the pain point, if you choose to put at the top of your landing page Sunderland's dog walking service in Sunderland, that is your headline, okay? That, like, you've wasted 80 cents of your dollar, 80 pence of your pound, because people who are landing on that page... Remember, nobody's lying at home, nobody's sitting at home thinking, I really need a dog walker, I really need a dog walker, I really need a dog walker. If they were thinking that, then you would be full. We would be full, the phone would never stop ringing, okay? What people are lying up in bed at home thinking is, they're worrying about, oh God, I've got to be at work tomorrow early. I've got to be there 7:45. I'm not going to get home till 5:15. My dog's not getting enough exercise. If my dog doesn't get enough exercise, then my dog's going to howl during the day and he's going to wake up the neighbours. And if my dog doesn't get enough exercise, he's not going to be able to hold his wee in, and there's going to be mess when I come home. If my dog doesn't get enough exercise, then I'm going to feel like a bad owner. I'm going to be thinking about him all afternoon. I'm going to be able to do my job properly. If my dog doesn't get enough exercise, then I'm going to be failing him as an owner, and my dog isn't going to love me, right? This is what they're thinking about, right? It's your job in your advertising, all advertising that you do, is to link the benefits of your service as a solution to the problems that your target market have. Right? And we don't do that by starting talking about our service and the benefits of it. We do that, as Ogilvy said, by making sure that we use in the headline the problem. We highlight in the headline the problem, you know? Think about my headlines in my advertising that I've been doing for my dog walkers, Business in a Box, you know? So the headline is, some of the headlines will read something like, are you a dog walker who is suffering or struggling since lockdown, and are you worried if you'll be able to ride out the upcoming recession? Right? Now, that does all of the elements that Ogilvy talked about, yeah? So it says dog walkers for starters. It's got dog walkers in the headline, so and this product is specifically for dog walkers, yeah? When I do a dog training product, it will say a dog trainer. When I do a dog grooming product or a doggy daycare product, it will have those names as well, yeah? And then I'm talking about the problem straight away, and I'm twisting the knife a little bit as well, even in the headline, all right? So even if people get distracted, I've hit them with a problem that they're suffering from, and even if they get distracted and they read nothing else on that landing page, on that advertisement, they still know I haven't exacerbated the problem, but I've highlighted a problem that they're suffering from, and I've communicated to them that I know that they're suffering from this problem, right? Well, that makes them more likely to come back and then finish off reading that article as well, or that landing page that I've put together, all right? And all your stuff needs to do the same thing, guys. I mean, even if you weren't at the stage of putting together some kind of lead magnet, putting together some kind of landing page, etc., I would urge you to go through your website copy, all of your website pages, and I would urge you to lead with a pain point at the top of each page. You know, so if you're a dog trainer and you are then on your puppy page for your puppy services, I would be leading with a pain point at the top of that puppy page. And then I would agitate the problem, the pain point, and then I would provide the solution in the form of your services. All right, you should really be changing the layout of your websites even so that it goes problem, agitate, solutions at the bottom, rather than having your three boxes and stuff at the top. And the same for groomers. You know, is your dog fearful when you take him to the groomers? You know, do you struggle to find a groomer who can give your dog the cut that he wants? Whatever it is that your grooming clients are suffering from. Same with the daycares. Yeah, you know, what is the main problem that doggy daycare owning people have? Identify that problem at the top of each page, yeah? Don't fall for the bullshit that the inverted commas website designer tells you, yeah? We know it's pain, agitate, solution all the way, okay? So that's the main point. If you take nothing else away from this teleclass, it's that everything you do should lead the headline. The headline should lead with a problem, okay? It should be a target market specific problem. And it should almost shock people a little bit, yeah? You know, so you want to have, you know, words like introducing, just arrived, new. New's a good word to have in there. Yeah, I've been putting that brand new program for dog walkers. Words like quick, easy. These things, this is what people are attracted to. Yeah. I mean, even if you're selling, a 12-week separation anxiety program that isn't quick and it isn't easy, you damn well, if you want to sell it, you damn well need to have quick and easy in the headline, you know, or somewhere near that, you know. So 5 times as many people read the headline as read the body copy. So it's important that your headline should, your the top of your landing page You should be communicating to them like what it is that you're advertising, you know? And if you can include like some kind of promise in the headline too, you know? There's sometimes a classic one would be, you know, how to go from this to this, you know, how to go from frustrated rescue dog owner to proud, confident dog owner whose dog is the envy of the dog park. Yeah, that would be that was gonna that was just off the top of the head, so it needs tweaking a bit, but you know what I mean? That there's a promise in that headline as well. Yeah. I mean, the whole, in a way, if you think about my product, the dog walkers business in a box that I'm talking about, it's called the Walk Yourself Wealthy Business in a Box. Dog walkers business in a box. So the Walk Yourself Wealthy, well, that the promise is built into the product name, isn't it? Yeah. So it's not just the dog walkers business in a box. It's the Walk Yourself Wealthy business in a box. Right. And that again, just showing you that I do practice what I preach, guys. Yeah. That should hopefully inspire you to think a bit more about what is the problem and what is the solution? What is the problem that your target market is suffering from, and what is the solution that you're offering? Okay? And you can try and you know, play with it and create something that tells people about communicates to them what it is that you're offering, you know? And if, you know, if they're interested, if they're suffering from that problem, trust me, they're going to read it. Don't worry too much about kind of, well, I don't think anybody really in the PBIC needs to worry about this, but don't worry about like being too salesy or too promotiony or too cliched even, you know, because like trust me, people respond to these kind of things. Okay. The copy that follows that should be written as if you are kind of answering questions. This is why we go pain, agitate, solution. Okay? It should be kind of seamless, really. All right? It should be seamless where they go from you're hitting them with a pain point, you're twisting the knife, and then you're offering a solution. Okay? So, and the reason for that is that people's attention spans drop off a lot. So if 80% of people only read the headline, or if 80 cents out of every dollar is spent in the headline, then you really need to get that right. Well, there's not many cents left over for you to spend for them to really get into it before they get to the sign up button at the bottom or to the buy button at the bottom of the page. Okay? So you want to really motor on, and the next part of the copy should like logically follow on from the headline. And then twist the knife a little bit further. So you're presenting a problem to them, and then you're telling them what's going to happen if they don't do anything about the problem, and then you're presenting the solution. And then you might want to have a testimonial or something like that. But that is kind of generally the sort of flow, you know. It's great to have bullet points as well. Bullet points can be good to have. I don't probably use them as much as I should do, but for the bullet points, you want to be. Well, a great way to think about bullet points is when you are putting together your headline, right? When you are putting together the copy for your headline. So what is the most, when you're thinking about what is the most powerful thing I can write at the top of this page that is going to genuinely appeal to the person who's suffering from the kind of problem that I can help them with my solution. You really want to come up with like a bunch of different things. So you might want to list like, what are the 10 things that my ideal prospect is worrying about? Again, really easy way to find the answers to those questions are to actually ask your prospect as well. So if you ask them those questions, you know, what were you suffering from before you started to work with me? What was your biggest worry before you hired us? What problems did you experience with your last groomer? What's put you off joining our daycare? All these different kinds of questions. Get all these answers, sorry, from all of your prospects and your clients. And then put them all together to make the most powerful one. You know, so we have 10 different examples of things that they were worried about. And then the main one that you come up with, your main bullet point, well, that can be your headline, yeah? And then you can use the other bullet points in your the body copy, you know? So we've got the main headline, how you can fix this by doing this in only this amount of time. Agitate the problem underneath. Did you know 70% of people who suffer from this problem, I mean, don't just make up facts here, actually have them, you know. The percentage of people who own a puppy end up getting rid of him after so long because they don't give the puppy enough exercise, training, etc. in the first 8 months. You can overcome this problem by doing blah, 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 by signing up for this free tip sheet below. In this tip sheet, you will discover bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, benefit, 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 yeah, problem, benefit. Problem, solution, problem, solution, problem, solution. How to do this in this amount of time. Really good example of this, guys, would be to check out the bullet points on the backs of all of my books. The Perfect Puppy Project, How to Be Your Dog's Superhero, Walk Yourself Wealthy, Worry-Free Walks, and so on and so on and so on. Check out that ad. A really good example of how I do that is on the back of my books, all right? Another thing you might want to do, not as important maybe for a landing page, but you might want to have a testimonial on there as well. And you know, a testimonial from somebody who's raving about your training or is raving about your lead magnet who downloaded it and like they love it so much, you know. A testimonial on there, and then we want to have a clear call to action as well, you know. To download your, to get immediate access to this quick and easy solution to your dog training, dog owning problems, click below now, and then you can even tell them underneath the button what will happen next. You know, you will you'll immediately get an email from me. Look out for the email from Dom Hodgson. It might go into your spam, and you can start enjoying stress-free walks with your dog straight away. Yeah, and that would be my idea of the basic layout of kind of a landing page. Yeah. And but it wants to be like really specific. Okay. Another big problem that people pitfall often is people will create a lead magnet that appeals to too many people's problems. Too many problems that people have. And what you'll do is you just dilute the message so much then. People don't really know if it's for them. All right? You're far better off picking one problem and going as deep as you can with that. And obviously it should be the main problem. See, if you're a puppy trainer and you ask everybody in your puppy class what the main problem was with the, what their main problem was with what the main thing they were worried about before they got their puppy, or what their biggest problem was when they first got their puppy, right? If you ask everybody in your puppy class at the moment and everybody in your previous puppy class, you're going to get like 10, you're going to get 10 answers. And then there's going to be one answer that stands out above all else. And it might not be the answer that you thought it would be, okay? So if the answer that they come back to you with is, you might have a bias towards families with kids who've got a puppy. So their biggest worry might have been, will my kid and my dog get on? Will my dog bite my kid? Yeah. Well, if you've had a couple of puppy classes and you've got 80% or 50% even of the people in the classes, that's their main problem. Well, that's the main problem you need to talk about in your landing page and your lead magnet. You know. You know, three tips to make sure that your dog never bite your puppy, your new puppy never bites your kid, and they live in perfect harmony together. Or, you know, words to that effect, right? Well, because what is that going to do? Well, that is going to attract more people like that. You know, we already know these are the people who have a tendency towards coming to our classes. So all we need to do is we need to refine our message so that we can attract more of those people. Yeah. And then this will eventually lead to, even something as basic as this, will eventually lead to you, where you niche down to, you know, and what you become known as and stuff, all right? It's just like, it's just taking your cues from the market, essentially, you know? Same with dog walkers, same with dog trainers and stuff like that. You want to... Now, I just want to quickly talk about pictures, actually, as well. Pictures on the thing. I generally, words are more powerful than a picture. And the word is going to do most of the work for you. The picture, if you do have the picture on there, it needs to, in some way, add to the message, you know? It needs to add to the message that, you know, so if it's a, if you're selling a pulling on the lead thing, then a pulling on the lead picture would be good, you know? If I'm selling like business training, then I usually have, and I am selling business training because that is what I sell and that is what I do. But if I'm selling business training, then I kind of want to make myself look authoritative and expert and stuff. So there's usually pictures on there, like of me speaking at seminars. Maybe it's me getting the award from Theopophytus, the dragon of the dragon's den. There's things like this that are going to enhance my expertise, you know, that are going to show people that back up the message of what I'm saying, you know. And similarly, you want to have similar things, you know. Everything on there, I mean, I guess a better way to say it would be, everything on the landing page should help you deliver the message. You shouldn't have anything on there that isn't going to help you to get the email address. Any kind of distractions at all, okay? This is why we should have, like, ordinarily, the landing page would be a standalone page. It wouldn't be a page that had the service menu along the top, the prices. It certainly wouldn't have the fucking social media icons on, yeah? You never want to have social media icons on a landing page, all right? You've spent time, money and effort getting somebody to land on your landing page. And now you have this opportunity to get their email address, well, to connect with them and convince them that you know enough about their problem to give you their email address in exchange for some more in-depth information. And you are then giving them the opportunity to flit off to click on an Instagram feed and then go and look at an Instagram page, to click on a Facebook page and go and look at a Facebook page. Well, what makes you think once they've clicked on a Facebook icon to go and look at your Facebook page, that how are they going to get any more information from your Facebook page than they would from your website? The chances are they're going to click on the Facebook icon to go to your Facebook page, and then they're going to be in Facebook's land, yeah, on Facebook's property, and Facebook are then going to put things in front of them that then compel them to stay on Facebook or to click on a rival advertiser's button. You know, this is why they've got this person made this comment, likes, shares, blah blah blah, dopamine hits. Yeah, please, please, please. I mean, I still don't have now social media icons on my website page. I don't think I do. Anyway, I'm gonna have a quick look at it now. Sure, I don't. But yeah, and this is the reason why, you know. I want people on my website to do a very specific thing, you know. So here's a pretty good example. We've put quite a bit of time and effort into this. If you go to the Grow Your Pet Business Fast page. It says, discover the secrets to, at the top of the page, it's got me standing there, handsome Dom. Discover the secrets to a profitable, stress-free pet business. Are you tired of wasting hours on social media every day trying to market your pet business? Are you sick of time-wasting, tire-kicking clients who try to beat you down on price? It doesn't have to be this way. Once you position your service as the Harrods in your town, then business and life become much more fun and vastly more profitable. And then it's got two buttons underneath, find out more and get your free tips. And that's that. Yeah, so straight away. Now, there is other options on my website as well. But for my main 33 ideas, It's just 33 ideas. There's testimonials on there. There's the Theo Bafitis page on there. There's testimonials from past clients and stuff like that as well. Now, if you look at every page on my website, let's have a look here, resources. Grow Your Peppers as Fast free resources. To claim your free resources outlined in Walk Yourself Wealthy, including how to write your book, how to raise prices without losing clients, and the email marketing crash course, fill in the form below. Boom. So I've got them on the resources page. Straight away, I'm asking for their email address. If you click on the blog page, now my blogs are, for the most part, like recycled stuff from books and stuff, you know, because I find it easier to write a book and then use it to chop it up into blogs. Much more efficient for me. But if you look at my blog page, there's a click on a blog there, about a blog about newsletters. There is at the bottom of that page, a sign up page for my 33 ideas, and there's some links to go and buy a book and stuff as well. On the podcast page, at the bottom of the podcast page, there's a get the free tips, 33 ideas tips. On every individual podcast page, there's a thing for that as well. On the testimonials page, we have 33 ideas to help you grow your business fast. Get the tips. Yeah, everything is designed on the website to help me to get more people signed up. And I'll tell you this as well. This should make you think a little bit, hopefully. But if you think about what we've just said now, and most people's websites aren't really efficient at all in turning a website visitor into a customer, a prospect, and then a customer. And the way that you do that is by doing proper follow-up, by having a lead magnet and stuff like that. Now, most people get around to adding a lead magnet, adding a sign-up page to their website, really, you know, way down the line. For the Grow Your Peppers as Fast side of my business, I did it the other way around. I literally had what you go to see now, my growyourpetbusinessfast.com/33ideas. That was all I had for the first 8 months of my consulting business. There was no website. There was just the 33 ideas. And then I communicated, I warmed up the list, and then I sold seminars, webinars, books, my inner circle. Everything went through the list. And so hopefully this has highlighted to you how you need to be thinking about your online presence. And then hopefully it's highlighted to you a clear way for you to start laying out your landing page and your website, you know. And I think I'll probably make this required listening for anybody before they send me any kind of critique or anything like that for a landing page. Should be, you must listen to this. I might even do a little checklist as well, you know, because it's a common same mistakes all the time. And I don't mind correcting and helping people. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm trying to do is with via your PBIC membership. But common mistakes all the time, you know, and even when people get told about this, the resistance is massive, you know. So Dom's told me to take off my name at the top of my logo. Why have I told you to do that? Well, I've told you to do that for all the reasons that I've just said in this teleclass, yeah, because it's distracting from the headline, and the headline is 80 cents of the dollar, okay? But, you know, well, I'm attached to my logo and I want people to, no. What we're after here is we're after the sign-up, all right? We should be after the sign-up. And the bigger kind of question, really, which I touched upon in a PBIC weekly dispatch lately, is the bigger question is, what is your website there for? Is your website there just to look pretty, and to provide information for people who are ready to buy your services right now? Or is your website going to be there to capture leads so that you can follow up and turn more website visitors into prospects, into clients? Yeah, they're the kind of bigger questions that you should be thinking about yourself. Obviously, if you're serious about your business, if you want to leverage your time and stuff, then it makes total sense to do the second option and to have a website that is built around getting people's contact details. Because you'll enjoy more success. You know, the fortune is in the follow-up, and the more the more follow-up you're able to do, the more sales you will make, therefore the more money you will make. The more you're able to warm people up who discover you via your website, via your lead magnets, the more you're able to successfully warm them up, convince them of your expertise, and that you are the best person for the job, price becomes much less of an issue then as well. You know, the more you position yourself as an expert before you take them on, the more they are going to prepare to jump through hoops, the more they are going to feel like they've achieved something just getting you on the phone. You know, all of these things matter. And this is how you end up having a magnetically attractive business that people are drawn to and they want to come in, rather than you being the chaser, someone who's chasing people down, chasing for always chasing the business. Okay. So anyway, I hope you found this teleclass useful. Some important lessons in there for sure. Please take action on this straight away using the advice that I gave partway through about going back through your website and looking at it from the point of view of PAS. Am I addressing a problem here on this page? When someone lands on this page, what am I doing to get them to move towards the sale? Well, the first thing we need to do is identify with what problem it is that they're suffering from. All right, we are attracted to problems all the time. This is why you notice dog shit when you're walking along licking a Cornetto on a pier in wherever it is that you are on holiday. This is why you notice a massive dog shit in the middle of the floor, because it's a problem. It's a massive problem to you. Yeah? And we are designed to recognize problems. It's a human trait. So use that in your marketing and you will have more success. Anyway, that's it from me for now. Have a wonderful rest of the month. Get stuck into the ledger. It's an absolute belter. Please don't forget that if you are someone who is now ready. I appreciate it's been a really difficult year so far. And a lot of people's business plans took a big knock. You know, a lot of things that we had planned, we weren't able to implement and achieve. So we had to kind of reassess our plans a little bit. And I had to do the same thing, haven't I? You know, with the postponement of Impact and then the postponement again till next year. And various other things that I had planned too for this year, I've had to change my plans too, you know. However, I've managed to successfully sort of ride this out and recover. And I'm not the only one, lots of other people have as well. So if you are someone who had big plans for this year and you had a tricky lockdown, but now you're back on top and now you are starting to suffer from the same kind of problems that you were before, too many inquiries, not enough time, business needs to grow, working too many hours but not earn enough cash, all this kind of thing, you know, need to leverage our time better to in the business, to work on the business. And if you're dropping, spinning plates and you're dropping them, then, you know, really applying for diamond it's kind of a no-brainer, guys. Or platinum if you are a bigger pet business and you want even more help. Kind of a no-brainer really. So make sure you email Beth to get your name added to the waiting list. And you'll be the first to get notification from her when we open the waiting list in November. All right. So anyway, we're coming up to 1 hour. Hope you enjoyed this. I certainly did. Peace out. Speak soon.